Sunday News.
It's time for the Sunday Morning Funhouse Show with Trade Martin and Jimmy J. Now listen up, guys. A lot of people are listening to this, so you better make it fun. Stand by. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. You're on.
Good morning, everybody. This is Trade Martin on the Sunday Morning Funhouse. I'm waiting for Jimmy to get on the microphone. I think he was working late last night, so he may not make it today, but we'll see what happens. We have a guest who's a veteran, and he's doing a big veteran show for the vets, of course. It's a fundraiser, I believe. His name is Jim Tarabassi. He's going to be calling us in a little while. We're going to speak to him. I got a feeling the mysterious colonel is going to be talking with us, and Kevin Bowles may be on with us too, the WATD radio DJ. He's on Tuesday nights and Wednesday night. He does the overnight shift over there. He does a great oldie show. He's a good guy, and he may be on with us. Today is Sunday. It's the Sunday Morning Fun House, and we love this show. It's a nice day out here today in the Northeast. I'm about 5 minutes from New York City, the Big Apple. And we're rocking and rolling right here. And the number here is 347-1. Dial that one. 1-347-838-8898. And my name is Trade Martin. I'm also the Papa Goo Goo Man, the guy with the silly humor sick stuff. I think that is a lot better than we saw on Saturday Night Live last night. We watched it. Donald Trump was, he was decent. He's always himself. He's always decent. He sounded like he was reading from a place card, but, I don't think he's used to that teleprompter stuff, and sounded a little sticky to me, but overall it was halfway decent, and, silliness works, and all those imitations and stuff like that, I just don't think they'll ever come back. Saturday Night Live will ever come back to the heights it was in when they had, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and those guys. I don't know why, but it just seems like this new stuff is not really conducive to real. It almost looks like high school comedy to me. It's not high level. It's not very tasteful top comedy. It's middle of the road. It's not really great writing, I don't think. It's all taken from the news, and they're just playing on doing satirical stuff on most of the news stuff. And listen, to each his own. But I bet they had the biggest audience, the largest audience that they've ever had in a couple of decades last night because of Donald Trump. And his daughter was there, too, which is funny. Yeah, his daughter was there. So, Antoinette and I watched it. Antoinette is the chairperson for Ted Cruz in our town. My buddy Steve Lonigan is the chairperson for Ted Cruz in New Jersey. And the guy who was on my show, terrific guy. He's a pretty funny guy, Rodney Lee Conover, who is the director of Flipside TV, was on with us.
Hey, Trey.
Who's breathing heavy? Yeah. Hey, how you doing?
Jim Tarabassi is on the line.
Oh, good. Hey, Jimmy, what's happening, Jim?
Hey, Trey. Not much. Just calling to have a little talk with you and see what's going on in the world.
Good, man, Jim. So, listen, tell me when is your show and who's going to be on it and everything like
okay.
that.
Okay, we have two shows. We have a show Friday, November 13th in Mechanics Hall in Worcester, Massachusetts. And we have a show Saturday, November 14th at the Lockham Theater in Beverly, Massachusetts. We have on the show, we have, it's featured.
On Friday.
On Friday.
Are they both the same personnel or what?
Yeah, we have the same lineup for both shows.
Okay.
Yep, so it makes it easy. We have the James Montgomery Band, legendary blues rockers out of Boston.
Right.
We have the Mohegan Sun All-Stars featuring a couple of guys from Joe Cocker's old band. They're a great band. They're just doing a big show down in Mohegan Sun on Wednesday. We have Barry Goudreau, the former guitar player from Boston.
Uh-huh.
We have Danny Klein from the Jay Giles Band. We have Fry Amaro, the guitarist and vocalist for the band Orleans, old song Dance With Me.
Yeah.
We have a group up
Dance
here. They're still around and they're still. Nobody ever goes away anymore. They become an old people act.
Right.
We have the Johnny Winter All Star Band. These guys are pretty cool in the fact that out of everybody who ever wanted to play with Johnny around the world, he chose these guys to wrap up his. Wasn't planned to wrap up, but to play the last decade of his life with touring the world. And so it's a pretty prestigious thing with all the people that have wanted, that begged to play with Johnny, that he chose these people. So they put on a great show. We have a performer, John Butcher, who is a great touring artist out of the Boston area. He just got done doing a tour in the Southwest with the band Tesla, the hard rock band from overseas. And then for one of the shows only, and that's in Worcester, Massachusetts, we have former Massachusetts Senator Scott Brown joining us on guitar.
No kidding. That's funny.
Right. Plus, we have his daughter, Ayla, the up-and-coming country performer.
Oh, she sings? Yeah, she sings.
Ayla was on American Idol. She was a finalist on American Idol.
Oh, I see.
She's one of those triple threats. She was a scholarship basketball player at Boston College a few years ago.
Wow.
And she had that. And the funny part about Scott is he plays on a couple of songs, but it harkens back to he did a show with one of the benefit show with us last Christmas time. And the set list got sent to me, and it said Intoxicated with Scott Brown. Intoxicated happened to be the name of one of the songs. But reading it as a sentence, it sounds like Scott Brown. I remember that phrase, and I just keep laughing at it, so it hits me all the time. But so that's pretty much good.
Is he a vet?
Scott served in the Guard for 30 plus years. He just retired this past year as a colonel.
No kidding. Oh, yeah.
He was a, believe it or not, can you believe a politician who was a lawyer?
None of them are lawyers. They're all sharks. But
yeah, he was a JAG lawyer. But yeah, no, he's a super nice guy. Been very supportive. When he was in the Senate, he was working on copyright legislation. He became friendly with members of Cheap Trick and Night Ranger. So he'll go out and play with them from time to time and do some of the big shows with these guys.
Interesting. Do you play guitar, Jim? Are you guitarist too?
No, I have no musical ability at all. I think every song begins with the key of Z.
That's funny.
Yeah, they don't let me around music. I'm not allowed to be around the songs. I'm only allowed around the production and the cleanup.
I see.
Right.
So that shows in Worcester.
Worcester, Massachusetts, right. The city that everybody calls Worcester. Everybody gets that wrong. But we also have an interesting thing about the Worcester show because we booked it in a large-size venue.
November 13th. That's November 13th.
Yes, November 13th, right. They have a nice balcony up there, holds several hundred people. And we decided, as we're doing this to support veterans, that we would make the seats available in the balcony for veterans and their families for $20 and $25, a great reduction in cost over the regular seating in the show. But we know that Worcester itself and a lot of New England, a lot of the United States is up against it economically. And especially the young guys who are in the service, they want a chance to get out with their family. So we figured we would shift some things around and put the burden on people who can more afford it and the higher end prices. As John Lennon used to phrase it, the people with the jewelry just wiggle your wrist and make the sounds. And those in the cheap seats clap. So we wanted to help the veterans and their families out to come out and have a good evening of top-notch entertainment at a price that wasn't going to break them, hopefully.
Right. Well, that's nice. Did you sell lots of tickets, hopefully?
We sold a good number of tickets. In Beverly, Massachusetts, we're doing well, but the adage is never stop selling till the day after the show's over.
Absolutely,
if you can sell something the morning after the show, take it. So with that said, we're doing quite well. The high-end tickets are being gobbled up. Everybody's buying high-end tickets because those people who can afford it, and it's not to get anything about the people who are up against it. Like I said, we're trying to help. They're coming out in as much support as they can to give us a hand.
That's great.
Which
listen,
we are very appreciative.
Is there any chance John, Jimmy's buddy John Kerry, may show up, Senator? Now Secretary of State.
Yeah, Secretary of State. Well, let's put it this way: I will have a guitar there, I will have a helmet, and I'll have a pair of combat boots should he decide to show up and sit in and play a tune with us. And he wouldn't even have to play guitar. We'd just give him a mic and he could sing if he wanted to.
Yeah, well, he'd need a helmet around our area, I'll tell you what, because people around here don't like him too much, you know.
Well, we have to be cautious in our comments, because we are the parts that hurts us, and I don't mean it hurts in that regard, but having Scott Brown, he's a very nice guy. He's a politician. So the unfortunate part is, once you're a politician, you're labeled by what you supported, not by what you do. And so he's been very helpful to us, and we've had a lot of strong support, but unfortunately we've had negative support. It's just the same as somebody stupidly said the other day about a Republican candidate being married to a Democrat. How can that be? Politics are different than being your social life. I didn't marry my wife because of her political affiliation. I married her because I loved her. I didn't marry her for any other purpose. And there's nothing I can do to sway people who have a political bent against somebody because they represent a different point of view. We just hope that people get over it. And, you know, like I said, Scott stepped to the plate and helped us. And if somebody from the other side wants to step to the plate and help us, we don't give a damn what they voted on for what. This is a veteran benefit issue.
The reason I was kidding around about it is because, you know, John Kerry, I heard he served 3 days in Vietnam.
Yes. I got that, Papa. Like I said, I just wanted to get out there because as soon as somebody's name gets, all I'm going to hear is, Tarabassi said something about John Kerry. We won't go to the show because he
got
John
you didn't
Kerry.
Say anything, Jim.
Right.
You're very complimentary.
Right.
I'm just kidding around. I'm doing Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh,
I like I said, in all this stuff, I keep my politics close to my vest. I just support the cause, and I know you do as well. There's not an issue about that at all.
We support the veterans. Right. I just did a veterans show yesterday, a radio show Veterans Day is Wednesday. Everybody,
yes.
Everybody must know Veterans Day is Wednesday, the 11th. And
right.
I got two or three new veteran songs. I gotta put them on your page. Let's honor our veterans today. Oh
yep.
Man, you got to hear this song. They used it on the radio yesterday. On my buddy Arnie Amber, who's on in Uniontown, Pennsylvania. He's on WMBS. And in fact, this Wednesday, they have a veteran who's starting a new show on their station. I mean, this is a terrestrial radio station where this goes all over, like into Scranton. It goes into Pittsburgh. It's in the Pittsburgh area. It's in the outskirts of Pittsburgh. But they've been on the air like 75 years. So I was guest on his show last night at around 5, yesterday afternoon, around 5 p.m. till 6. And he used my songs. And he told me that they're going to use it also on this Wednesday show. They starting a new dog tag show on Wednesday.
Okay.
And double or triple amputee guy, he says, who serves, of course he served, and he's going to be the commentator of the show.
Right.
I forget the name he told me. He may have mentioned his name. But so he says he's going to probably have the host, use my songs also over there, you know, for the Veterans Day.
Excellent.
The Veterans Day show, yeah.
Right, yeah, because we're taking this cause, and since I had spoken to you last when we recorded the record we're going to be releasing this week in the Veterans CD, we have decided that we're going to make this an ongoing entity throughout New England and with some conversations we're having, maybe for the Northeast, of doing these Veterans Benefit shows, more specifically in the Baby Boomer category. As we find out, those are the people with the more disposable income, and we want to hit the people with the money to support those who have the needs for the services. So
well, Bonnie Frank wants, Jim, Bonnie Frank wants to dispose most of that income with those
yes.
people. He wants to dispose it really good. Anyway.
But oh, no, I know. They can spend my dollar much better than my wife and I can.
Oh, of course, of course.
Right.
They know how to do it. Yeah.
We'll get a dollar and 5 cents results out of it. They'll get a nickel out of it.
but nobody knows how to spend money more than our U.S. government, I'll tell you what. Did you hear about the gas station?
Yeah, for $42 million. Yeah, I think you could build one. If you can build a new high-tech high school for $100 million, which I think is outrageous, $42 million for a gas station in the OPEC zone seems a little bit skewed.
Yeah, a little bit high. Yeah, I guess a few guys made some money on that on the side.
Yeah. And so, the funny part is everybody who was involved with it now seems to be dispersed around the globe. So this is kind of like Boston's Big Dig. It's nobody's left to answer for the cost bondoodle. But back to we're going to try and make this a thing that's an ongoing thing, and we're having talks with several different entities because I'm just one of those people. I go somewhere and somebody starts talking to me and I bring up a conversation. We found a couple of colleges that have veterans programs and they're trying to find ways of raising scholarship money for it. So we're sitting down having some meetings to do these concerts on the campus to raise money for their veteran scholarship programs. So we're looking, I want to say, under every single rock we can find somebody who's interested in working with us and putting on these concerts around the Northeast. And for me, at my age, I like to have fun. I like to do this. It's a nice social activity, and it has the plus of helping somebody who needs some help.
Yeah, well, that's the bottom line. It makes you feel good when you help somebody. You know,
right. I mean, I put in each one of these shows will be a 20-hour day for me. I'm not as young as I used to be when I started touring in my 20s. I'm a little bit older, a little bit fatter. Fortunately, I've lost a lot of hair, so I've lost a little bit of weight. But at the end of the 20-hour day, I sit down in my living room, have a cup of tea, put my feet up on the table, look at the newspaper, and I say, well, accomplish something today. It may not be much, but I've made my little mark in society and done what I can to help.
It's a good feeling, yes. It's a very good feeling.
And that's the whole point,
Jim, let me get back to something. What years did you serve, actually?
I was in 73 and 74.
Right.
And as I was expressing to a gentleman today, somebody called me up from a veterans organization we're donating some proceeds to. I was one of those fortunate people. I played football in college 1 year out of high school, and I didn't take discipline very well. So I eventually walked off the field. And in my infinite wisdom, I decided to join the United States Army, an organization that lacks any leadership structure. Yeah. Like, that wasn't a stupid move. I spent my whole time with my stripes on and Velcro being busted. But I was fortunate that the week I finished boot camp was the week Nixon stopped sending troops to Vietnam.
Oh, I see.
I mean, I was lucky by a day. We finished on a Friday. They stopped it on a Thursday. It still sits in my memory from time to time.
Wow.
So I did, like I said, I did my time as a guard at the USDB in Leavenworth. And as I said before to people, I use it as a joke. I think they put me there to be a guard so when they went to arrest me, they wouldn't have to look too far. The transportation costs would be down. They just flipped me from one side of the gate to the other side.
That's funny.
Right.
Listen,
so
I want to ask you.
But like I said, we had that long period where we had no need for veterans assistance programs because during Vietnam was a very, very unpopular activity.
Oh, yes.
And James Montgomery, who was my partner in this, he did one of the first ones in Boston in probably 72, him and Bonnie Raitt. They did it at the Music Hall in Boston, and they both were roundly chastised by a number of people for doing this. And it was, you're supporting the government, you're supporting an unjust cause. And they said, look, this is not a politically driven agenda, folks. This is, we're here to help the vets. They're coming back all torn up, in need of service, homeless. We're trying to help the vets. We're not making this a political agenda. We're doing this as a personal needs for individuals that we see and know. And after Vietnam, it was a long gap before the everything heated up in the Mideast. And now that the needs are greater and greater than ever. I mean, of course, the only part is the survivorship rate of injuries and wounds is much greater than it's ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
So the negative side to that is the cost becomes much greater because people who normally wouldn't have survived are surviving and needing of all the assistance can be provided to them.
I understand, sure.
And
sure,
so it's worth it for everybody to make a little bit of sacrifice, because those it's stupid decisions as all of us make on a daily basis in our life, good, bad, indifferent, obnoxious. Those people give us the right. Those people have allowed us the privilege of being able to be stupid by being willing to sacrifice themselves for our, sometimes, like I said, stupidity.
Well, listen, you know, the Vietnam War was very unpopular, but it was unpopular because of all the protest people made it unpopular. It's almost like Occupy Wall Street. Almost like Black Lives Matter. It's, you know, they're trying to make the police unpopular, which they're doing to a lot of people, not to me, but, you know, they're trying to make the police unpopular too, you know. So, I mean, it's what's going on nowadays. I know you don't want to get into the political thing, but that's kind of where we show.
People want to come down on one side of the agenda or the other. There's no such thing anymore as public discourse. It's all political rhetoric. When I served, when I was at Leavenworth, I wound up in an incident, had to be taken out of the prison to become charge of quarters because I got in a fight with an inmate and some problems.
Really?
Yes. And so they, for safety, they had to pull me out of the prison. And put me, my duty became making sure the CO had coffee in the morning and just doing rounds throughout the building. I served with a couple of guys who had been a bit older than me. I was 18, 19, 20 years old at that time. Yeah. And they had been over in Vietnam in the late 50s before the war started. We were over there as advisors. And they told me how beautiful it used to be before all the incursions started. It was an absolutely wonderful, beautiful place, and they loved serving there. And, you know, subsequently.
Wow, really?
Oh, they said it was a like a paradise. It was so nice over there.
No kidding.
I've only got their word to go on it. I mean, it was if I'm not mistaken, it was French controlled at one point in time.
Yeah, I see. Uh-huh.
That's just going back, you know, rhetoric that came to me through people who had been there at that point in time. But once you know, the mid-60s hit in the Tet Offensive and everything, the place was not the same by any stretch of the imagination. We overloaded with troops and took a much more active role in the war as opposed to being advisors and consultants. Uh-huh. Yeah, because we went over there, as I'm not mistaken, to help the French with the insurrection over there. But back to the whole thing, yes, it was a very unpopular thing, and people tried to make it unpopular. They were not out to support the people. They were out to demean the cause.
Right.
And, I mean, that's what ultimately drove LBJ not to run for a second term. Just the pressure became so onerous on him. He figured it was better to just walk away and be done with it and not have his legacy became something much worse.
The
social agenda that's now affecting us 40-some-odd years later. So he didn't get away from it. He just got beat up for something else after he passed on.
Right.
But
he's got a lot of ghosts in his closet.
He wasn't. He was another one. He had a lot of dark secrets. He had a lot of bad issues. I've read several biographies on him. But it's not what you've done in your past. It's what you step up to the plate to do and what you find. You know, you want to create the best line for your epitaph that you can. You don't want to be remembered for everything wrong you did, because there's not one of us who doesn't have a wrong in our closet something. I mean, I know I've got a couple of sins that I try to hide to the best of my knowledge, and I try to put my best foot forward and forget what I've done wrong in the past and look forward to what I can do better in the future.
Jim, are you Christian? Are you Catholic?
I was raised Catholic. I'm kind of a lapsed Catholic. I'm a physical... physical conservative and a social moderate. I try to let people live their own life within reason. I mean, I don't interfere in people's lives. I don't want to. Somebody's proclivities.
No, we're not supposed to. We're not
right,
supposed
and that's
to.
The point. Somebody's proclivities are their own to exercise. I don't care what goes on behind somebody's doors as long as it doesn't have a direct impact upon my life.
Right.
Yeah, I try to live in that credo. I don't express my relationships with other people, and I don't need them to express theirs with mine.
Of course not. Now, listen, let me ask you something, Jim.
Yeah.
Terabasi is your last name. What's the origin of your parents and your grandparents from? Where in Italy were they from?
The funny part is most of my grandparents were from Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yes, my paternal grandparents were Italian. They came over from Aquila, Aquila, Italy.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yep, and at the turn of the 1900s, right, like 1903, they came over because I was doing some family genealogy, and I happened to get their marriage certificate, my great grandparents. And through research, I found two of my other grandparents, my maternal, both came from Ireland. They came over as immigrants in the 20s. And my paternal great grandparents came over from Ireland in the 1880s. As I said, I'm trying to track my family back. It's just one of those little interests I have to see where I came from. I know where
I'm
going.
So your mom was Irish and your father was Italian? Is that what it was?
Italian Irish. He was Irish Italian, and my mom was pure blood Irish.
I see.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I go back and I look at the stuff, and I actually, doing some family research, I found an uncle my mother had that we never even knew existed.
Really?
And we never knew he existed. The woman replied to me on one of the Facebook postings on one of those family things, and her and my mother had become good companions on the phone because they don't live near each other. They never knew each other existed, but they've found a common bond and talk regularly. And so it's very nice the way when you go back and you can find something and find somebody you're connected with and have a direct relationship.
Oh, sure it is. Yeah, yeah. It's a very interesting situation, yeah. So, Jim, the show is November 13th in Worcester.
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 You've got to get that Boston accent. You got to get rid of that New York stuff. You got to get out of Boston.
No, it's Worcester. Not Worcester. It's Worcester. Worcester.
It's Worcester. Worcester. The R is funny. You can't teach somebody how to say R's. Worcester, Massachusetts, Mechanics Hall, in Saturday, November 14th, the Larkham Theater in Beverly, Massachusetts.
All right, now, how do they contact your, you must have a web page.
They can contact us on our Facebook page, V is for Veterans.
Okay.
They can V is for Veterans is our Facebook page, and I post on it regularly when we're doing stuff. In fact, I'm trying to post about 10 times a day. People are tired of hearing from me. And the website we're using, we had a website, but we crashed it out. We bought it from one of those 1-800 companies, and it became more of a waste than not. So the site to contact us on is jamesmontgomery.com.
That's easy enough to know. Yeah, it's easy enough to remember.
Right, and we keep posting the stuff on our Facebook page. People can leave us comments because right now we're just getting ready to do all of our getting our catering needs taken care of. We're out there getting people to see if they'll help us provide some of our catering needs. So Facebook has its merits and its demerits. People think it's the greatest thing. Look, I got a picture of my kitty cat getting its belly rubbed. And I got 5,000 likes. Well, okay, folks, that just means people have a lot of free time.
More like 5 million likes, yeah, I know.
And I had somebody the other day say, I got my song on Facebook and I got 400 likes in this last month. Well, guys, come on, if a kitty cat getting its belly rubbed and get 5 million, 400 is nothing. Like I said, there's good sides and bad sides of it, but we take it as part of the new social media platform. Everything is changing from when we were all younger and started in music and how you'd break market after market after market.
Right.
Now somebody in your hometown may not know who you are, but somebody in 3,000 miles away may think you're the equivalent of the Beatles.
Absolutely. I know that's
true. It's just everything in society is turned upside down, and we just have to learn to adapt in an older age and just go with the flow.
Right. Low expectations. Listen, but I really hope you get a great turnout at this, the next 13th and 14th of November, which is only a week
away. The end of this week.
Yeah.
5-6 days away.
Oh, that's great. Okay, so it's V for Veterans. If they want to get
Veterans. V is for Veterans, yeah.
V is for Veterans, and also jamesmontgomery.com.
Right. And the easiest way to remember the Facebook page is I took it from A is for Apple, B is for Boy.
I see.
That's how, because believe me, you don't know how many times I've started to stumble on it.
Right.
That's why I created it that way, and that's how I try to remind people of how it came about.
And we're on with Jim Terabassi. Is that the way you pronounce it, Jim?
Yes, it is. Well, that's the way I pronounce it. A lot of other people pronounce it wrong, but that's the way my mom and dad taught me to pronounce
well,
it.
Well, it's, you know, that's
no,
counts.
No, I know. I'm, yeah, no, with the accent as well, it's people get caught up in the accent.
Well, how do they pronounce it? I mean, it's
no,
naturally Terabassi. Looks like Terabassi. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yes, yes.
And
no,
I think I knew somebody.
People try to put an E, they try to put a Y, they try to think it's Polish and put a KY at the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I just, you know, when you've got a name that's a little bit, it's not truly unique, but I've learned to make fun of the way people pronounce it just to put them at ease.
Well,
this
listen,
is
God
much
bless
more
Jim,
important
and thanks
to
you for your service, and thank Jim Montgomery for us, and JimMontgomery.com,
James
V
Montgomery.
For Veterans.
Yeah,
you know,
JamesMontgomery.com, and V is for Veterans on Facebook.
Right, and see November 13th and 14th, so get those tickets for the show. And we're
right.
going to see you next week, everybody. We've got to sign
right.
off. This is Trade Martin on the Sunday Morning Funhouse. Too bad Jimmy didn't catch us. Jim, but I'll talk to you soon, you know, in a couple of weeks when you
yeah,
got another show coming up.
We're all done. I'll give it a couple of weeks to sit back. I'm going to drink some whiskey and get myself bombed. No, I'm an alcoholic. I don't drink at all anymore. that was private. Okay. I'll give you a call and let you know we did trade.
Great. Okay, do that, Jim. Stay
okay,
in touch.
Thanks, Fred. I appreciate your time and your audience, and please remember to get out there. And if not for if you can't help us, don't forget some find some way or another to support a vet. Thanks.
Right.
Yeah,
God bless
and
have a good Veterans Day too. Happy Veterans
thanks
Day.
Thanks to you and all your listeners, Trey. I appreciate it. Bye bye.
Thank you, man. See ya. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next week. We'll see you Wednesday at midnight. We got a big debate show starting at 11:30. Don't forget. And we will talk to you and watch the debate and listen to our show. We'll tear it apart. Right after the debate at 11:30 on Wednesday at midnight. God bless everybody. Have a great day. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Today in news.
This has been the Sunday Morning Funhouse Show with Trade Martin and Jimmy J. I hope you had fun. It's over. Can we have cake now, guys?
Today in news.